brush his teeth. Day after day for 30 years, the same routine. The special needs he lives with makes life seem so unfair. But he thanks God every day, 'cause he knows Mom and Dad are there.
He's a hero, and she's a hero. Doesn't matter if nobody knows their name.
For many years to have a baby of their own, but God knew a little girl who didn't have a home.
Someone else's burden was their blessing in disguise. And now she's got a mom and daddy there to hold her when she cries. He's a hero, she's a hero. Doesn't matter, nobody knows.
Aren't you glad that we have heroes in our church? Amen. Let's all stand up as we're getting ready for Brother Joe to come back and preach for us this morning. Let's all stand and sing Amazing Grace. It is that amazing grace that brought us to this point this morning.
Amazing grace.
A special prayer request this morning. I ask it of the choir and the choir room, but probably most anybody that's in here that lives in Paulding County knows J. Robert Smith. How many of you know J. Robert? See, J. Robert is a special man. I'm sorry, but he is a special man. And he made me promise about 15 times yesterday. He said, I want you to have Joe Holcomb and First Baptist Church Hiram pray for me. He's going through some health issues. He's 77 years old, but he knows the power of prayer. He goes to the doctor tomorrow morning at 8:45 for, he's having some, as I said, heart issues. But if you would just pray for him, that the Lord would just touch his little body. He's getting feeble in his old age, but he can still outwalk me. Most of us probably, you see him around Dallas all the time. But I just want you to keep him in your prayers, because this verse says, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. And it's going to lead us home if we know him this morning. Sing the words of this verse.
Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. When we've been led 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when
be seated. Brother Tommy, come up here and say a word for the Lord. You know, this man is never at a loss for words, so you just share your heart with us this morning.
Long time ago, April the 15th, 1979. That's a long time ago. Jesus saved me. Greatest thing that ever happened in my whole life. People, if you're not saved, let me tell you something. I thought I was having a good time. I was 34 years old, and I thought I was having a good time. But let me tell you something. Now, this is from the bottom of my heart. I have never, ever had more fun than I have now being a Christian. Amen. Something, you know, people are scared. You know, I even thought about it a lot. You know, I didn't want to give up my way of life.
Right.
You don't have to ever tell you something. To accept Jesus, you ain't got to give up nothing.
Right.
And when I accepted him, guess what? I didn't want that stuff anymore.
Amen.
I didn't want all that liquor.
Right. Amen.
You know, people don't believe this. I was drinking almost a fifth of liquor a day before I got saved. And the night I got saved on Easter Sunday night, people could not believe I didn't go into DTs. I mean, I had that much in me. But guess what? Jesus took that away from me that very night.
Amen.
It was gone. That foul mouth that I had, it was gone. And one night, it was all gone. He took everything away from me but one thing, and that was smoking. Boy, it took me a long time to give that back to him. I'm going to tell you what. I was telling somebody at Celebrate Recovery, I said, you know, I'm going to give up these cigarettes. I've had enough of them. I'm going to give them up for the Lord. I had a pack of Marlboros in my pocket. Driving down the road at 55 miles an hour, I said, I'm getting rid of these things. I throw them suckers out the window. I caught them before they ever hit the ground. It took me that long to get rid of cigarettes. So let me tell you something. Boy, this is one thing. When I got baptized, there was three or four people that got saved right after that because they couldn't believe it. They already said, Tommy Bruce cannot be saved. I got news for you. There ain't nobody bad enough that can't get saved. Now, I can sit up here and I can tell you a lot of things. But Brother Joey, preach. So, you know, I just want to tell you, church, I love you. And they, you know, all these people got baptized. Let me tell you something. We got programs for you to learn about God.
Amen. That's right.
We got Sunday school.
Amen.
That's where you go to learn the Word of God, in Sunday school. We got Bible school coming up. We got a water. We got every kind of program to teach you about the Bible.
Yes.
So all y'all that got baptized, I want to see you in Sunday school.
Amen.
Learn all you can about Jesus. Because I'm going to tell you something, folks. The statistics show that 35% of the people in America is Christians. 35%. I'm saying, whoa. When I was growing up, it had to be at least 65%. What's happened? Well, the devil's got a lot to offer our young people. All the churches everywhere needs to get involved and get the word out to these young people. Because I'm going to tell you something. The devil don't like what's going on.
Right. Amen.
And he's going to fill your mind with all kind of thoughts. When I was your age, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. I had all the thoughts.
Yeah.
You know? And I didn't deal with them. I just followed the devil. But I'm going to tell you something. Following Jesus is so easy, folks. You get so much glory out of it. The prayer, and I just pray for you. I just pray for him. But as soon as you said it, I pray for him. He's a fine old gentleman.
Where's Miss Kathy? She's got to go through a lot of stuff. Kathy, our prayers are with you.
Amen.
Our prayers are with you. God's in control. He's going to take care of you. You're in a win-win situation. I'm telling you, win-win situation. Kathy, we love you. Just want to let you know that. We love you. So, come on, preacher. Don't let me get started, because...
Thank you, Brother Tommy. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. If you got your Bible, we want to read some scripture and look at the Word of God for just a few minutes. Brother Tommy made mention that a certain percentage of America is Christians, and you know that number's in decline. Churches are still being built. Sometimes that's not necessarily an indicator. I want to read scripture out of Matthew chapter number 27. And want to preach on this subject. What are you going to do with this man called Jesus? Before I read the scripture, I do want to say, and as in line with what Brother Tommy said and what Brother Keith said, there's a lot that we need to be praying about. We can pray for Mr. J. Robert. We can pray for Miss Kathy. Let's also, church, be praying for, we've got some other members, parts of our church that we need to be praying for. I was asked this morning that we be much in prayer for Miss Trina Hart. She's got to undergo some tests. God knows what those are. But she needs your prayers, and she's asked for your prayers. And this is our family. You know, sometimes, and I think it's pretty much all the time. When you're a church family and you love your brothers and sisters, you ought to care for them and you ought to pray for them. And when someone specifically asks you, pray for me, we ought to pray for them.
Amen.
Let's continue to pray for Star, Brother Preston's daughter. God knows her needs. And God's able to move on her behalf. And as we go through the prayer list on Wednesday night, sometimes the list seems long. There's so much to pray for. But can I also tell you, we've seen God move.
Amen.
We've seen prayers answered. We've seen great things done. Because the God we serve, He's a real and a living God. Amen. Let's look at Matthew chapter number 27, beginning in verse number 15. This is where Jesus was sentenced to die, and He comes before the governor. And I want you to see the words that are said as we get down to verse number 22. Verse number 22 is going to be our text verse. says, now at the feast, the governor was wont or accustomed to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had then a notable or well-known prisoner named Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered Jesus. And when he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife said unto him, saying, have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? And they said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? And they say unto him, let him be crucified. It's as if Pilate looks at the people and he says, what do you want me to do with this man called Jesus? Go to another place, Mark chapter 15 and verse 12. The scripture says, and Pilate answered and said unto them, what will ye then that I shall do unto him whom ye call the King of the Jews? And I guess the question that I have, and I want to dwell on for just a few minutes, and we're going to look at the scripture, but I want to ask you the question, what are you going to do with this man called Jesus? You know, we're in a world today that doesn't mind if you pray, just don't pray in the name of Jesus. They don't really mind even if you go to church, just don't talk about Jesus. And the idea is, don't let going to church affect your life. Don't let going to church affect the way you live. Don't let it affect the way you believe, and don't let it affect the way you vote. But when reality of it is when you meet Jesus, it changes everything. Now, I want to look at this scripture for just a few minutes, and I want you to see what the characters in the scripture did with Jesus. What did they do with Jesus? Well, first, let's look at the Jews. We know that the scripture says that Jesus, he went to his own, and his own received him not. But in Luke chapter 23, verse 23 to 25, when they come and they ask the question, the scripture says, they were instant with loud voices, requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed, and Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required, and he released unto them him that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they desired, but he delivered Jesus to their will. You see, the people, the Jews, they rejected Jesus for Barabbas. Barabbas was a murderer. He was guilty of murder and robbery. And if you look at this scripture, Barabbas is a type of the world. And the people said, we don't want Jesus, we want the world. They rejected Jesus, they chose Barabbas. Now here's a little bit about Jesus. Jesus was guilty of no sin. That's why sometimes when you just speak the name of Jesus, the reason that people are so offended is because of what he represents. It's like the Word of God. You go to work and you lay the Word of God on the corner of your desk and just watch. Do an experiment. I've done this before. People walk in and they see it. It's almost like walking into a place and there's a snake. They back up. I've literally had them see the Bible and stop and take a step sideways and go around. Why? This is why. Because if this is true, everything it says about them is true. Amen. And when Jesus was there and they rejected him, they said, we want Barabbas. We want the world. See, by rejecting Jesus, here's what they also rejected. They rejected all of the prophecy that was said about him. Now, here's what I want you to realize, that when they brought Jesus before them, they did not have a completed Bible like you and I have, okay? We have 66 books, an Old Testament and a New Testament, three different languages compiled over a period of time where holy men were moved on by the Holy Spirit to pin these words down so that you and I would have a roadmap, in essence, a text message from God. What they did have, they had the words of the prophets. They had the words of the poets. They had the Talmud. They had the words of Isaiah. They had the words of Jeremiah. They had the book of Ruth. They had the Pentateuch. And these same ones that rejected Jesus were the ones who carried the word of God to the world. But by rejecting Jesus, they rejected every prophetic word that it said. As in Isaiah 7:14 and in Isaiah 9:6, where it told of his birth and how he would be born, you would have thought that the chief priests and scribes would have knew what the word of God said. But they rejected the prophecy. You see, the Bible tells us that before the Lord will come, that this gospel will first be published among all nations. I'll tell you how we know we're getting near the end of time. When the printing press came into existence, and some of you Sunday school teachers know that date. I know it not that long ago, okay? They printed this. You know, prior to the printing press, they had scribes. And a scribe would sit down and he would copy the word because that's the only copies they had. That's why the scripture says in Matthew chapter 5, not one jot or one tittle. Do you know that when a scribe was copying the word of God, if he got one crossing of the T wrong or one dotting of the I wrong, he had to start all over. And they copied the word. They knew what the word said. You want to know how to word the word of God? You read the word of God. And you read it over and over and over again, and you'll begin to be in places where the Holy Spirit will move on you and it'll come to you. I believe the word of God probably came to them, but they rejected it. They owned the New Testament. They copied the words, but they said, away with him. Give us Barabbas. Not only did they reject the prophecy, but they rejected the forerunner. Well, the forerunner was John the Baptist. And you know, there's scripture in the Old Testament that actually prophesied that the forerunner would come and what he would do, that he would prepare the way of the Lord. And John the Baptist was going around preaching to the people, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. They rejected the forerunner. They rejected the words of the one that was told that would come before Christ. They rejected him. Well, what did they do to him? By this time, they had already taken John the Baptist because he preached the word of God and he told them the truth and it pricked their heart. He had already lost his life. See, they rejected John the Baptist. They rejected his words. But they rejected the word of God. Now in John 1:1 it says this, and I know these words weren't penned at this time, they come shortly thereafter, but every time we have a messenger, we study the word of God. Folks, it's not for the people that are gone and behind us, it's for us. Amen. And this verse is for us. It says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. You see, here's the thing that to understand by rejecting Jesus. Jesus was, Jesus is the living Word of God. Now, I don't know if you've ever thought about it this way, but, you know, when you're in a church house and it means nothing. What's the song say? All is vain unless the Spirit of the Lord comes down. Amen. Okay, we've got to the point in church today that we just want to go for social. But in truth, here's what we pray. God, come upon us with the Holy Spirit. God, convict us of our sins. God, lead us in the right path. God, help us to have the understanding that we would not, could not have besides of you. That's why when my words are said, they mean nothing. But when the Holy Spirit goes down each row, and he speaks to each heart. That's what life is. Could you imagine what it would have been like to be in the very presence of Jesus Christ as he preached? There's never been so powerful a speaker. There's never been so powerful an orator. And there's never been a word that would have pricked the heart like the words of Jesus. They rejected him because they rejected his word. See, they rejected him as prophet. As prophet, he was a speaker of truth. They rejected him as priest. And as priest, he intercedes to the Father on behalf of his children. You see, Jesus right now is seated on the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and me. They rejected him as king. You see, as king, you have to bow to a king. And a lot of people say, well, I'm not going to accept Christ because I'm not going to bow, I'm not going to change, I'm not going to do. Well, then you'll never be a child of God. I heard sometimes people say the question, and it's almost like bait. They want to bait you as a Christian. They say, would God let me into heaven? Well, here's the answer. Do you want to go? If you don't believe in heaven, why do you ask the question? Maybe because you know you're not going to live forever and you begin to think about it. Truth is, about this type of a message, what are you going to do with this man called Jesus, is the kind of message a lot of people just don't want to deal with, because we don't want to stop and think about the fact that we came from somewhere. And I don't know about you, but I know what I believe. I didn't come from some slop that was in a pool that just began to live. And then it began. I'm not going to do that thing with my arms, honey, okay? I'm going to try to control myself. But it began to squirm. And it crawled out and it sprouted legs and it looked like something. I know we don't all look the same, but we are created in the image of a living God. See, if you didn't come from God, you came from somewhere. If you don't go into God, you're going somewhere. You want to go to heaven? What are you going to do with this man called Jesus? You see, by rejecting Jesus, here's what you reject. You choose the world. You choose Barabbas. Here's what you're rejecting. You're rejecting mercy. You're rejecting grace. You're rejecting truth. You're rejecting reason. You're rejecting purpose. They chose the world. They rejected him. They crucified him. Even when he arose from the grave, and he did, they made up stories about him. You see, people say, well, I just don't believe that. Well, maybe you ought to dedicate some years of your life to study. Because the people who have, they say that the story of the resurrection of Christ is like an island surrounded by barrier reefs. That no way you try to approach it can you approach it and find any evidence or truth that would disprove it, because with every direction, it's just historically something that happened. What about those who passed by? You know that when Jesus was on the cross, there were some that passed by. What did they do with Jesus? In Matthew 27, verse 39 to 40, it says, they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. They passed by and they looked up at Jesus on the cross and they wagged their heads and they mocked him, they reviled him, they made fun of him. You know, people do that today. They drive down the streets and they see this parking lot full. You know what they say? They're in there doing it again. That's what they say. Recently, during this past election cycle, there was one person they were trying to approve for some position. I don't know the name, but I remember what stuck out in my mind is you had a liberal person stand up and say, this person actually believes that there is a God. And they say that it's the first thing that leads their life. How can we put a person like that in public office? Folks, that's where we're at in America. Can I tell you that I actually believe the Bible? I know it's hard for you to believe, but not every preacher does. I've been up in the pulpit preaching, trying to do what God's called me to do. And there have been times that I'd look out and you know what I see? Not everybody says amen. Not everybody believes. I've seen people punching the one beside them, giggling. They don't believe. They come because somebody invited them or they want to see what was going on or they've got their mind somewhere else. But not everybody believes. Let me tell you why it doesn't offend me. Because you're not rejecting me, you're rejecting him. When they passed by and they wagged their heads and they reviled him and they mocked him, they were rejecting him. When people reject you as a Christian, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting him. When I'm persecuted, it's because of him. See, they wagged their heads, they didn't believe. And when you don't believe, you're not going to receive. They didn't see. They didn't hear. What about the male factors? You know, when Jesus was crucified on the cross, on either side of him, there was a cross. I want to stick with the one in the middle for just a minute, because the cross that Jesus Christ died on was a cross that really wasn't for him. That cross was for Barabbas. You see, in this story, Barabbas actually represents you and me. You see, by Jesus going and being accused, and when the people said, away with him, crucify him, give us Barabbas, Barabbas, because of the seasonal tradition, was released to go free, even though he was a criminal, even though he was guilty of murder, even though he was guilty of robbery, and he walked out smiling. And very possibly went right back to his same old ways. But they took Jesus and they put him on the cross that was supposed to be occupied by Barabbas. Now, folks, that's you and me. He took my place. And when they hung him there on the cross, there were two criminals, one on each side. One of them spoke to him and said, if you be the Christ, save us and yourselves. Rejected him. You know, that's the way some people are. You ever seen somebody that's on their deathbed and you try to witness to them and they just want to swear and curse and reject God? And the truth is, I've seen people, loved ones, actually say, would you pray with my family member? They don't know the Lord and they're at the end of their life and they don't even have any concern about it. But there was another one. In Luke 23, verse 40 to 43, he looked across at the man was condemned as well as he was, and he says, don't you fear God? We're in the same condemnation. We indeed justly, what he said, we're deserving what's happened to us. But this man, he's done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Now, folks, I believe God can save you in that last hour, but here's the thing. God's got to be dealing with your heart. Sometimes people play games with it, and they say, well, I'll get saved when I'm good and ready. You better get saved when God's calling you. Now, what did Jesus do? He looked over at him, and he said, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. Now, one thing to understand, it's kind of like this. Sometimes counsel people, or especially young people, and you know, sometimes decisions we make in our life, they're tough. It's like school. Going to school's hard. The longer you wait, the harder it is. But I had somebody tell me one time, they say, it might take you 8 years to get through this degree the way you're having to do it, but 8 years from now, you're going to be 8 years older whether you have it or not. Here's what I want you to understand. Here's the moral. They were both about to die. And they were going to die whether they knew the Lord or not. Amen. One of them, that day, Jesus said, this day, you're going to be with me in paradise. But where does a person go? Says, I don't want nothing to do with God. Will God let you into heaven? Yeah. But do you want to go? You know, when I look at this scripture and I look at all these examples and I look at all these people and what they did with Jesus, all it does is turn the story back to me. See, when I look at this story and I look at Jesus, and he was on that cross, the truth is, he was on that cross in my place. I don't look at it like he was on the cross in anybody else's place, because the truth is, this is what I want you to understand individually. If it was just you, he would have died for you. Impossible for me to understand, but when he was on the cross, all the sin of the whole world was placed on him. Now, I believe based on what I study, and they came to him, traditionally, they would break the legs of the soldiers, of the criminals. The reason they did is the way crucifixion works is you would actually suffocate to death because you could not exhale. And by breaking the legs, the person would have to push up, and in Jesus' case, he would have to push up on the nails that were through his feet just to be able to exhale air. But when they got to him and they break the legs of this one and they break the legs of this one and they come to Jesus, he was already dead. Because when he cried, "It is finished," and he gave up the ghost, Jesus died of a broken heart because of all the weight of the sin of the whole world being put on him. You know why? Because he loved you that much. You. Brother Tommy, you said they said that Brother Tommy can't be saved. How many of you, they said, he can't be saved? Let me tell you, God can handle your stuff. There ain't nothing you got he can't handle. The question is, what are you going to do with this man called Jesus? Are we different than the Jews of Jesus' day? Are we going to accept him as prophet? Are we going to accept him as priest, as king? Are we different than the soldiers? Are we going to mock him and wag our heads? Or are we going to bow before him? Are we different than those that pass by? And if we look at the two, the one that was on either side, the truth is, of those two, everybody in this room is represented by one or the other. You're going to mock him? You're going to reject him? Or are you going to say, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom"? I want to tell you this morning that God loves you. He cares for you. He's got a plan for your life. And God's plan for your life is that you would be the absolute best that you can be. But you've got to come to him. And you've got to come on his terms. God's speaking to somebody's heart right now. I want to get ready to sing, and it's not because of me. It's because the Holy Spirit of God is alive, it's real, and it's moving in this place. God's calling you to an altar, and I want to tell you, these altars are always open. We've got them dried off, and they're ready. Somebody needs Jesus. And what we must do is we must bow before a living God. Would you stand to your feet as they sang? They're going to sing a great song. If you'd like to come pray, if there's anything on your heart you'd like to pray about, I want to tell you, this is the best place I know of. Because God's here, God's people are here, people that love you are here. And God wants to do business with somebody. Would you come right now while they sing?
The first and the last. I'm his child by mercy, forgiven from my sinful past. He is
is a dying Savior, bruised, shamed, and despised. He is the great Redeemer, breathing victory in life. He is the risen conqueror, setting my captive spirit free.
And I love him, yes, I love him,
because he first loved me. When I see who he is, I realize what I am.
And I wonder why a holy God would ever reach down so far,
place me in his hand. My ears had heard the story, but now my eyes have seen his glory, and I can't turn away from his grace.
I'm incredibly, miraculously saved.
He's my friend and gentle shepherd, my shelter from the storm. He is closer than a brother, and the rock I lean upon. He is my ever father, my confidence, my love. I'm depending on his goodness, lost but for turn away from his grace. I'm incredibly, miraculously saved. When I see who he is, I realize what I am, and I wonder why a whole world would ever reach down his hands. My ears had heard the story, and now my eyes have seen his glory, and I can't turn away from his grace. I'm incredibly, miraculously saved.
Well, I'm incredibly, miraculously
Counselor, comforter, keeper. Almighty Infinite Father, faithfully loving your own. Hear